Let's pray together as we stand. Heavenly Father, we come seeking you this morning. We seek you for vision for our church. And we pray that you might teach us and renew us and refresh us, thinking about how to be part of your church here, All Saints. Please speak to us. We open our hearts and minds to you, saying we want more of you and we want to know your will. So please lead us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do please sit down. So today's subject is how to be part of All Saints Church. It's an ambitious title, and you may be wondering, what's Francis going to say on this one? Well, the New Testament tells us that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Picture in your mind's eye, if you can, Jesus as the head and us as his body. The church is connected to Jesus as your head and face are joined to your body. And this shows us how intimately connected we are with Christ. Scripture tells us that the church, that's us, is God's household. The church is God's family. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. And the church, meaning the community of people, not the building, is God's holy temple. We are a chosen priesthood, royal and a holy nation. Jesus Christ loved the church by dying for us. The Bible has many wonderful things to say about the church, about what it is, and to help us to understand who we are as God's people. But our focus today is not about what the church is in these kinds of terms. Rather, today we're thinking about what we should do as members of God's church, of All Saints Church. How do we participate in the church? How does God want you individually and in your family to be part of his church here? Peter wrote this letter to Christians gathered in churches across a number of regions. He addresses the letter at the beginning to God's people in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, some of those are strange terms to us because those places don't exist anymore. But they were all large areas which are now in the landmass that is the country of Turkey. Peter addresses them at the beginning of the letter as God's elect. That's an interesting way to think of ourselves. And in today's reading, he gives us four very practical instructions about being church, which we can apply to ourselves nearly 2,000 years after he wrote the letter. Here they are on the screen. Peter instructs us to pray, to love, to host, and to serve. These four things are going to be our focus this morning. Do please have your Bible open. We'll look at some of the verses from that reading, which we heard from Linda a few moments ago. Now, these aren't the only things that we should do as a church. No, there are many other things, but these are key things. Do you want All Saints to be a great church? If you do, do these things. Do you want All Saints to be a real church? Well, do these things. They aren't a quick fix. They're some of the basics of church life, which have been true for every generation since Christ's resurrection and ascension. And none of these four things require a master's in theology. They aren't what we might call rocket science. They are the basics, and they are for every one of us. So as we prepare to head into a new school year and into the autumn season, my aim and prayer is that these verses will encourage and stir you to an increased participation in the life of Jesus' precious church. The church is the most important institution in the world. But without these four things, it can become hollow, emotionally empty, and lifeless. These four things turn church from a theoretical concept into the living body of Christ, but they are hard to do. These things are the glue that binds a church together. These are the things that makes a church feel real and puts flesh onto the structures. They put warmth into the ministries of the church, be that the PCC, or babies and toddlers, or looking after the graveyards. Let's look at these four things in turn to encourage one another in being church together. So firstly, pray with a clear head. Please have a look with me at verse 7. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Prayer is fundamental. Praying together as a community, praying together in our families at home, going into your room, closing the door, praying to your Heavenly Father on your own. Most of us know how fundamental prayer is to being part of a church, but we do need regular encouragement to keep going. As I begin my time with you, I want to encourage all adults to make the monthly prayer focus meeting a priority. I do know that not everyone can make it because of other commitments and family life, but we do know that prayer must be central. For those of you who are parents with children living at home, have you managed to make prayer together part of your family life? For many of us, this isn't an easy thing to do. And if you're stuck, I would love to talk to you and to encourage you, seeking to help you with establishing that. And I encourage you to pray regularly, to have a regular personal time each day when you can be with God, to talk to him, to worship him, and to feed on his word. The verse says, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Well, why are these things important for our praying? And it is helpful to understand the context of the Christians who first received this instruction from Peter. They were suffering and struggling. At that particular moment in history, following Christ was at odds with the culture around the churches. And Peter wrote this letter to encourage and help suffering churches who were facing a degree of persecution. We see this from the first chapter, verse 6. Peter writes of them suffering grief in all kinds of trials. And he goes on to present Christ as the model of how a Christian should face injustice. Jesus' flogging and execution were undeserved. He hadn't done anything wrong. And yet, he was punished like that. The way of the master is the way of his followers. So in chapter 3, 14, Peter writes, if you suffer for doing right, you are blessed. And then in verse 17, it's better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good. Jesus is our example in that. And then in today's passage, Peter writes, the end of all things is near. He means that the return of Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus is our model as we face unjust trials and difficulties. And Jesus will also be our savior from trials and difficulties when he returns. On that day, those who are leading ungodly lives and those who persecute the church will have to give an account to God for their actions. So Peter teaches us to participate in church life with Jesus' return in view. The end is coming. The kingdom of God will fully come. So be clear-minded and self-controlled, understanding that this is the reality and framework that we live in. When we pray, we need to have this perspective in mind. We need to be clear that the end of all things is near. So we can apply this perspective to challenges in our lives. GCSE results have just been announced this week. Not getting the exam grades that we want or that we wanted for our children is not the end of the world. And we take this clear-minded perspective into our praying. As we rightly bring the sorrow and difficulty of not getting the grades we were looking for before God. Being made redundant is a very difficult thing, but it isn't the end of the world. The end of the world is when Jesus comes back as a judge and a king. We take that perspective into our praying as we face the pain of reduced income and many practical difficulties. Being excluded from a particular job because of our desire to honor Jesus is not the end of the world. It is deeply galling and painful. But the most important thing is to remain faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ until either we die or he returns. We want our faith to be shown as genuine and real when Jesus comes back. Having a clear mind, being self-controlled, means recognizing these things as important. That's the framework and reality that we live in. So firstly, you can be part of All Saints Church by praying with a clear head. Together as a church community, in growth groups and at Prayer Focus, together in your biological family, and on your own. The remaining three things that Peter teaches in this Bible passage are about how we relate to each other in the church. We're to love each other, to host one another, and to serve each other. So I want you to cast your eyes around the room. I know it's a slightly awkward thing to be asked to do, but just have a look around at the people round about you. Try and clock a few real people's faces. When Peter writes about each other and one another, we are to apply this to the people in the room here at the moment. The people who are here with you regularly, week by week. Some are away on holiday, some cannot make it because of illness or infirmity. But together, those present and those absent are the church that we are to love and to host and to serve. These three actions contribute to making a church real. We want to be a Bible-believing church. And believing the truth about God and his gospel is fundamental to that. Believing the truth about God's ethics and what it is to be a human are fundamental to that. The church is, after all, the pillar of truth. But here we have Bible teaching about loving and hosting and serving. To be a Bible-believing church, these things need to be central. We want to be an apostolic church, rooted in the teaching of Jesus' apostles found in the New Testament. We said the Apostles' Creed a few minutes ago. To be an apostolic New Testament church, we need to believe the content of the creed. But that isn't enough. To be apostolic, we need to love and to host and to serve, as the Apostle Peter is here teaching us. So the next instruction is to love each other deeply. Love each other deeply, or you could translate it, be eager to love each other. Now this is simple and straightforward, isn't it? Or is it? I think love is, in fact, very difficult. The closer you get to people, the better you get to know them, the harder it can be to love them. Isn't that your experience in your biological family, both the nuclear family and the wider set of relationships in your family? Love is easy when you're singing along in a crowd at a pop concert. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, when you're singing along to All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. That's easy. But the more you become interconnected with real people, the harder love can become. And the divorce rate in our country only goes to show the truth of that. Here Peter is writing about the need for love within churches who are suffering persecution from outside their communities. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes about the priority of love within the Corinthian church, where the problems were inside. They were morally confused, they were full of status rivalries, and they thought very highly of themselves. And this is what he wrote. A very famous Bible passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You've probably heard that Bible reading at a wedding, applied to love within a marriage. But Paul wrote it to the Corinthian church, and he wrote it because love isn't easy. One of the marks of a great church is people who love each other deeply. Peter writes, above all, love each other deeply. This is a top priority for Bible-believing churches, for apostolic churches. And in verse 8, he gives the reason why we should love deeply. Have a look with me. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. I note that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, love keeps no record of wrongs, which sounds quite similar, doesn't it, to love covers over a multitude of sins. It's not saying that our sins don't matter before God. No, we know from the cross that they're, well, it's a fundamental issue. But love covering over a multitude of sins is that the community isn't always making a big deal about one another's sins. We're looking to move past them in love. And this goes back to the Old Testament book of Proverbs here on the screen. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrong. Proverbs 10:12. Then Proverbs 17:9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Love covers over a multitude of sins. If you're new to church, I have to break it to you that the church is full of sinners. Yes, I'm covered by Christ's righteousness, which saves me from God's judgment on my sins, but I am still a sinner. And I get things wrong sometimes. As you get involved in church, pray for the gift of increased love in your heart. The deeper you get into church, the more love you will need. Church can only develop and grow when there are healthy, happy, loving relationships within the church. And that means that there come times when we hit difficulties, people do things wrong, but we need to move forward, covering over sin by our love. Love which covers over sin is the oil that enables happy and healthy church. The third way to be church is to host one another without grumbling. Peter and his first readers lived in a generation without church buildings. Nothing like this. It was a generation when travelers would normally stay in private homes, if they could. I think inns existed, but they were pretty basic. Certainly our understanding of a hotel was nothing like that. So hospitality was vital if the church was even going to meet together, because it had to be hosted in people's homes. It was vital if church leaders were going to be able to visit the different congregations that people prepared to host them. Today, the Satnav tells us, well, it predicts the minute when we will arrive. But Peter wrote when the length of a journey was highly variable. You couldn't telephone or email or text ahead. Guests would just show up. And all this makes sense of his instruction, offering hospitality without grumbling. And we can see that our present-day context is different, but the instruction still stands. We are to host one another. So I encourage you to invite one another to your homes. And I want to thank many of you who've already done that for me and my family since we joined you a few months ago. Growth groups enable a few of us to be hospitable on a regular basis. And you don't need to have a house to be hospitable. Opening up the church buildings and looking after them is part of hospitality. Serving drinks after the service is part of hosting. Enabling church meals through the year. It might mean inviting someone to meet you for a drink or a cup of coffee so you can get to know them better, welcome them into the church community. Or it's simply having a welcoming attitude after the service as you talk to people. Host one another without grumbling or complaining. Pray that God will increase you and your family's capacity to be hospitable. The fourth and final way to be part of All Saints Church is on the screen. Serve each other with your grace gift from God. Verse 10 is a wonderful verse, and I think it might actually be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In my late 20s, this verse profoundly affected my understanding of what church is. At that point in my life, I came to get excited about church in a new way. I think church became an exciting thing, whereas perhaps before, it had been somewhat dull for me. And this verse, understanding, was revolutionary for me. Perhaps, like I said, I came to believe in the church in a new kind of way. Peter tells us that each Christian has at least one spiritual gift for serving others. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. We've all got at least one. The purpose of the gift that we receive from God is to serve others, to serve one another. Gifts are to be shared. So let's use chocolate to illustrate this for a moment. That was very eager, John. So I've got a chocolate bar here, and I've also got a box of the famous After Eights. Which one better represents Peter's teaching in this Bible verse? So if spiritual gifts are chocolate, would they be more like the Cadbury's Whisper Bar or more like the After Eights box of chocolates? Anyone brave enough to put their hand up and hazard a guess? The After Eights? Quite a lot of voice. Anyone for the Whisper? Jeanette's gone for the Whisper. Don't be careless with your Whisper. Well, they are, in fact, most of you are right, they are more like the After Eights because they are to be shared. The bar is really for eating on your own, and that's not what spiritual gifts are about. When someone comes to dinner and gives you a box of this kind of chocolates, you know what you're meant to do with them. They're meant to be shared, and it would be rude if, after the first course, you went into the kitchen and started to eat them all by yourself. Like the chocolates, your spiritual gifts are for the benefit of other Christians. They're meant to be shared. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Gifts are given to us for the good of others. Understanding that is fundamental and revolutionary to your Christian life. And here's the really exciting bit in the second half of verse 10. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, what's that mean? It's a slightly complicated sentence. When each one of us serves with our gift, God dishes out grace to others in the church community. As we use them, you and I serve God's grace to others in the church. You get to be part of God's work in the lives of the other people in this room at the moment. And this is how we can be part of All Saints Church. When we use our gifts, we administer God's grace to others, his blessing, his help, his favor. The grace of God that comes through his people to one another is manifold. That's a big word. It means that it comes in various forms. So there are many different gifts and ways of serving one another in the church community. So let's return to the chocolate for a moment. When we think about this, is church more like the box of After Eights? Or is it more like the Lindt Swiss luxury selection? Who wants to put their hand up and bid for one of these or the other? Who's for the After Eights? One at the back. Oh, you're rejecting them now, are you? Not good enough anymore, now that you've seen the Lindt? Who thinks it's the Lindt? Yeah, okay, you are in fact right. Gifts in the church are more like the Lindt selection than the After Eights because there is a variety of gifts. God comes to us through each other in various forms. So if we all had the same spiritual gift, well, it would be like After Eights. They're all the same. But God gives us a diversity of spiritual gifts. And let's see what we've got in here. We've got the macchiato, the cœur à l'orange, the dragon noir sounds good. And some of these are virtually unpronounceable, they're so fancy. And the point de chocolat. Let's see. Let's try the dragon noir. That's delicious. Well, these are so good, I'm going to save the rest for when I get back home. Yeah, we'll just put those away. No, Francis, that's wrong. A bit of panto. Quite right. Spiritual gifts are for sharing. So, John, would you pass those on? I must apologize that there aren't enough for everyone. Sorry about that. But at panto style, I could throw out the whisper, couldn't I? Everyone looking? This teaching is so exciting. It means that each Christian here today has a contribution to make to building up the church, to building up one another. And you may feel that you have nothing to offer to All Saints Church. I think many people in church feel like that. Oh, it's just little old me. I don't have anything particular to offer. I'm not an upfront person. But these verses tell us that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a gift that God's given you that will serve and bless other Christians. Church isn't just a preacher, a leader, and a musician serving everyone else on a Sunday, but it can easily become that. No, this serving that Peter's writing about happens all week in a multitude of ways, and every Christian should be involved. So be part of All Saints Church by serving each other with your grace gifts from God. Well, as we draw to a conclusion, let me summarize. We see from this passage in 1 Peter that we are to be part of All Saints Church, as we should be part of any church, by doing four specific things. We're to pray with a clear head. We're to love each other deeply. We're to host one another without grumbling. And we're to serve each other with our gifts of God's grace. None of these are very difficult to understand, but in fact, they are all difficult to put in practice, and we need regular encouragement. These are what we might call the bread and butter of church. They're the basics. And let me encourage you that I've only been part of All Saints for about 3 months, but already I see the reality of all four of these things in our church community, and we can praise God for that. We do these things with the framework and perspective that the end of all things is near, meaning that the world won't just chug on like it is at the moment forever. One day Jesus will be revealed to judge. He'll judge the living and the dead. God's kingdom will fully come, and he will rule it forever. We do these four things for a reason that is there in verse 11. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. These four things are part of the day-to-day living that over time builds a great church. Not a church that just looks good and shiny on the outside, but one that's full of goodness and life in the relationships on the inside. And that's what we want. May the quality of our life together cause people to look upon it, to experience it, and to give praise to God. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet to reflect and to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your church is a one another institution. It's a family and a community. Thank you that we all have something to give and to receive. And so we pray now for the work of your Holy Spirit in each of us individually, in our families and corporately as a church community. Please sow this word into us, Father. We pray that you would increase our capacity for these things. Increase our capacity to pray. Increase our ability to love, particularly when it gets difficult. Increase our capacity to host one another and to serve with our gifts. And we want to pray that our church, All Saints, would bring glory to you. Please help and lead us and empower us. And we pray this for your glory. Amen. Well, we're going to respond in song. And as Dennis comes up, will you please stand to sing All My Days, Beautiful Saviour? It's number 1024 in the church hymn books, and it will be on the screen as well.